I hope you're praying for me this morning. I've only got about 10 pages of notes that I have written out this week, but that's okay. I'll try to abbreviate as we can and move forward. Hallelujah, that's my water. You know, we still got my clock up here. Thank you very much. Because when I look from this position, I can't see those arms worth beans. I know you can from back there, and I can from over here and over there, but when I get right here, the light shines a certain way, and I can't see that clock, but maybe that's a good thing. Amen. Because we're not moved by just by clocks, okay? Amen. We're moved by Him. If God starts moving, praise the Lord. Amen. We'll stick around. Hallelujah. How many know we are a house of prayer? Amen. That's one of our main goals, to be here is to be a house of prayer. But there are things, other things, of course, that we teach about following after God and knowing Him and walking with Him. And there is a major key that I want us to talk about today. I believe it's a major key to answered prayer at times. And I think there's a lot of Christians in the body of Christ that don't know much or know nothing about it. Now, you know some about it. When I mention it, you know, you'll probably all just, probably nobody will jump up and begin to praise the Lord. But we can still look at it. And today, I want to look this morning a little bit and share just a few nuggets that, and a few things from the Bible about fasting, because we're getting ready to go into our fast in about 9 to 10 days from now. And I want us to think about, how am I going to prepare my heart? What am I doing when I'm really fasting? And I want to really ask you to pray for me this morning that God will bring this forth the way He desires, because it's important that we realize fasting can change some things in you and I to such a degree. It can bring some answered prayers. We're going to look at some things here in the Bible today. Maybe some things, you know, you said, well, I saw that before and I've read that before. And that's awesome, but I want us to open our heart this morning. And let's look first of all over here in Matthew chapter 6. Well, this is really the continuation here. This is the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus is preaching. And sometimes people just look at the fifth chapter, you know, and they go up the Beatitudes, but it's more than just the Beatitudes. It goes on, but here is chapter 6, and the first, I want us to look at a couple of parallel verses here in Matthew. Matthew 6, verse 5 and 6, and we'll read those, and then we'll move down to verses 16 and 17 as well. But Matthew 6, 5 and 6 says, "And when you pray, you shall not be as the hypocrites are." You notice that? That's the first thing. "Not be as the hypocrites are," the negative side, "for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. But truly I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father which is in secret, and thy Father which sees in secret shall reward thee openly." Now here, first, of course, we see that there is a negative. Don't pray this way. But then he brings out the positive, and he says, no, you pray this way. Don't pray to be seen of men, but pray to be seen by God. Separate yourself. Sometimes the closet of our heart is just when we bow our head and we look to God from our own heart. It's not always, you know, obviously it's good to get away. It's good to get into your own place of prayer. But sometimes, how many know, you can be surrounded with people and still go into the secret place of prayer in your own heart. Say, Lord, here I am. I'm coming to seek after you. And no one knows you're praying but you and God. But you and God, amen? And that's the main thing here. I want us to see the negative and the positive. Then let's look down at verses, 16 and 17 here. Now, when Jesus is talking about prayer, how many would agree that he expected us to pray? He said here, when you pray. So how many think Jesus would expect people to pray? Amen, right? All right. Everybody says, well, sure you would. Well, here's 16 and 17, and it says this, moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, or when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that you may appear not unto men to fast, but unto your Father, which is in secret, and thy Father which sees in secret shall reward thee openly. So here again, we have two things. How not to fast and how to fast. How many saw there in verses 5 and 6? He says what? How not to pray and how to pray. So in the same way, he's putting fasting here on the equal place that he's putting prayer. Because he said again, when what? But when you fast, not if you fast. And he said, when you pray, not if you pray. And then he said, don't do it this way, do it that way. Do it secretly. Do it in your heart. Do it unto what? The Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we see here that he expects us not just to pray, but also to fast. He says, when we fast, we seek after the Lord. Now, I'm not alone in this. God, there's others that have been in the body of Christ in days gone by who believed that we should fast. Now, Martin Luther, he was one of, how many of who Martin Luther was? He was a Reformation man, wasn't he? And he believed that people should fast. He said, when we fast. But I want to share also John Wesley, he was persuaded in fasting. As a matter of fact, he was so persuaded, he set up a rule for ministers. They would not ordain anyone into the ministry that did not commit to fast every Wednesday and every Friday until 4 p.m. Till at least 4 p.m. twice a week. And that was one of their requirements to be ordained into the ministry. How many think that's a pretty good requirement? We should have some things and we should say, hey, listen, if you are going to follow after God, then fasting should be part of your life. Amen. Hallelujah. And part of our ministry. What is the purpose? Now I want to share something this morning. What's the purpose of fasting? What is the purpose of fasting? Is it just to make your life miserable? No. there's a number of reasons for fasting, isn't there? It's not just to make our life miserable, but to present ourselves to the Lord. It's a part of presenting our body to the Lord. Amen. That's what he said in Romans 12. How many ever read that verse? Romans 12, 1, right? We are not what? We present our body a living sacrifice. It's part of it. But there's a lot of different reasons that people fast. It's a God-appointed way I want to submit to you this morning. And I want to kind of concentrate on mainly one aspect of why we fast. I'm not going to try to get into every aspect. We've talked about different reasons for fasting here. And we could go through all the scriptures in the New Testament. And we know that it helps us in our unbelief and those things. But this morning, I want to share with you, it is a God-appointed way that we can humble ourselves before God. He said, wow. there's one great specific problem that we can have in getting our prayers answered sometimes. And the Lord was talking to me about this week and through some different things. But one of the reasons our prayers aren't answered is because of pride. Ooh, wow, pride, really. Well, I don't have any pride. Well, praise the Lord. We're glad that you're proud of not having your pride. Hallelujah. And so fasting can help us get this barrier out of the way. Pride can have some terrible barriers, can it? It can have some hard barriers. Why? Because it keeps us back from God's blessing. It's the first sin that is mentioned in the Bible. Where did that? Who committed that first sin? Who knows who committed the first sin of pride? It was Satan, wasn't it? It was Lucifer in heaven. And he was cast from heaven. And I want to share some scriptures, a few scriptures that deal with pride. Let's look at Luke chapter 14, verse 11 first. I don't know if I'll get through all these pages today. That's not my goal. My goal is that we realize, as the psalmist even said, he said in Psalm 35, 13, David said, I humble what? My soul with fasting. Now, we've been talking about what is our spirit, locating our spirit, understanding our spirit. And then there's what? The soul, we said. Our soul is our mind, our will, our emotions, our intellect, isn't it? It is the part of us where we decide some things, which is where we submit our will to the will of God. It is where we choose. We make choices, don't we, in our mind, in our will, and even in our emotions. It's where we sometimes feel things. And we'll get to that in a minute. I got ahead of myself. But let's go there. Let's go to Luke chapter 14, verse 11. I don't have a lot of scriptures on this, but I want to touch on this part. Here he says in chapter 14 of Luke, verse 11, for whoever exalts himself shall be abased. And he that humbleth himself shall be, what? Exalted. Oh, hallelujah. God never says in the Bible that he'll humble you, but he says to us to humble ourselves. Now, you know, everybody says, well, I'll ask God to humble me. Well, you might find out that, hey, God doesn't really humble you, but he might humiliate you. To where you will humble what? Yourself. Amen. Hallelujah. Sometimes when we're left to our own ways, how many have ever found that you could humiliate yourself? You know, pride has a way. The Bible says it comes before the fall. Amen. But he doesn't say he will humble us. He says for us to humble ourselves. Now, when you go and you take the lowest place, when you are on the floor before God, there's no lower place to go, is there? When you begin to seek the face of God, and you say, Lord, I'm coming to seek you, and you lower yourself, and you say, Lord, I need you. I need to hear. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And we begin to say, Lord, I humble myself, and he says, what does he say here? If we'll humble ourselves, we will be exalted. This is a universal truth. Did you know that? It'll work anywhere in the world. If you humble yourself, we can be exalted. Hallelujah. We can humble ourselves, though, before him. Satan exalted himself and God cast him down. And Jesus, what did he do? He humbled himself, didn't he? And became a man. Remember what it says in Philippians 2:9? You know, where God, What did he do for Jesus when Jesus humbled himself? The Bible says he highly exalted him. Hallelujah. He highly exalted him. Philippians 2:9. And I can guarantee you exaltation with God when you humble yourself. It's a guarantee. He said it right here and other places. And it is a godly principle. The lower down we go, the higher up we end. God's principles don't work like the world. How many know what the world tries to do? I've got to get ahead. I've got to try to get above the other person. I've got to try to exalt myself and make myself known. And God says, if you'll humble yourself. And so I want to speak about that today. Humility is an essential condition for effective prayer, isn't it? Even just to give our hearts to God, we have to humble ourselves. James 4:10. Let's look at James 4:10. I hope you're understanding this morning. I'm not trying to bring every truth about fasting, but with fasting, it is one way that we can humble ourselves, okay? Not the only way, but it is one way. Hallelujah. James chapter 4 verse 10 says this, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Sometimes we get the pride in our heart and we want to be lifted up, don't we? I remember when I was young and I worked a particular job. I was pretty young. And the boss left and I got a little upset because they didn't even consider me for his position. Not that I was ready to take his position, but you know, they didn't even consider me. You know, in my youthful pride, how many know God says we don't choose people, you know, that are what? Young in the Lord or that are not mature. I'm not saying young in age, but I hadn't matured to that place. Or hey, that's okay. You know, sometimes we have to realize playing the second fiddle maybe on your job or in your place of employment might be more important than you being the number one man. Oh boy. Are we willing to lay down our life and say, Lord, I'll play second fiddle the best that I know how. And I'll be a blessing to those that are above me. You know, just because you're not the best secretary, you know, it doesn't mean that God's looking down on you or anyone else is. How many know somebody's got to play the second part? Hallelujah. It's important, just like the first. You know, if you're in the orchestra, you know, and you play second fiddle, it's very important, just like first fiddle. All those notes have to be added in there as well. So here again, he says, God is telling us to humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord. He doesn't humble us. We don't ask God to humble us, but he humbles us. I like the scripture here in 1 Peter 5. And maybe some of you already know where we're going, but 1 Peter 5 and verse number 6, he said again, humble yourself therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. I'm telling you, there's one sure way to get God to exalt you, and that's to humble ourselves before him and to choose. And that means we are what? We choose his way above our way. I said earlier here that Psalm 35:13 says that I humbled my soul with fasting. And in the scripture it says, you know, that he humbled himself or his life. And it means that I humbled. David is saying, I humbled myself with fasting. Why do we need to humble our soul? said, I humbled my soul. The soul is what? That's the arrogant part of us, isn't it? That's the part of us that wants to get arrogant, is our soul, our spirit. We know, hey, that's alive to God. And we've been talking about trying and learning to live after our spirit. But our fleshly soul sometimes gets, anybody ever had that problem? Now don't get too spiritual. Jesus had a problem with his soul. Do you remember when he went to the Garden of Gethsemane? Jesus wept. He was crying out to God. And a lot of times it's said, oh, he was in agony. And we see the picture and there's the rock and Jesus is kneeling down and it looks so nice and peaceful in the garden, which it sure was a peaceful place. But when you really look at it and when you really read the scripture, Jesus is groaning from his innermost being saying, oh God, if it's possible, Lord, take this from me. He was probably laying on the ground in agony. He said, I am sore troubled, disciples. Can you come up a little further? Remember, he asked Peter, James, John, you know, his faithful few, that they came a little bit further, and he went, what, a little further, didn't he? Not so far, please pray for me. But when he went back to the disciples, he found them asleep. He was asking for prayer because his soul, his emotions, his feelings, what does the soul do? The soul says, I think, doesn't it? With our intellect. The soul likes to say, I feel. The soul with the will wants to say, I want. I think. I feel. I want. And those are there, and it expresses itself in those phrases many times. But God says, what you want isn't so important. And what you think is not really what's important. And what you feel is not important. What's important is my will. It is God's will, amen? And surrendering to that will, and Jesus knew that in the garden, didn't he? He said, Lord, here I am, Father. Not my will, but your will be done. And really, that is a part of what? Humbling ourselves before him. Not my will, Father. Your will be done. But God, I want this. And we try to make it. Anybody ever do that? You try to make something come to pass? How many know Abraham tried that and he made what? A mess. Amen. He made an Ishmael. Anybody ever had an Ishmael in your life? I've had a couple of Ishmaels in my life that I wish I wouldn't have had. I thought I had the mind of God, but I was wrong. And I had to humble myself once again. How many know it's good to humble our soul? And it is a key. I'm telling you, it is a major key to us getting answered prayer from God. You know, when we're going around, you know, sometimes I think we have to be careful, especially in the charismatic world. We heard God. Oh, I heard God. I know what to do. And it's amazing how many times God changes his mind. If you heard from God, then that is his will and you stay until he says otherwise. Yeah, but you don't understand the battle I'm facing. I understand. There's going to be a battle to win to the will of God. There was a battle for Jesus. What makes you think you're not going to have a battle to walk in his will, to walk in his plan, to get his best? Or do you want to just get by and enter heaven and you say, oh, I've been saved by the grace of God. And you'll walk into heaven. There'll be a sign around you. I'm here by grace. And that'll be nice. And you'll enjoy heaven, I'm sure. But you'll still have to stand when others are there that did surrender their will, that did humble themselves fully to the purposes of God. And the rewards of heaven will be handed out. And they'll have crowns that they cast before Jesus. And you say, wow, why are they casting them before him? Because he's the one that gave us the grace to walk in them. We cast them down at him. But I don't know about you, but I want to have something to throw at my master's feet. It says, Master, I have accomplished something with you. I did something in the family business. There were some people's lives that were changed because I was willing to humble myself with some fasting. I begin to afflict my soul. The Old Testament says many times they would afflict their soul. I think it's important that we understand that God expects us to humble ourselves. Amen. And one way, everybody remember, it's not the only way, but one way to do that is when we enter into a fast. We are saying, Lord, I'm putting down my body. You see, the stomach, it's a wonderful servant, isn't it? But it's a terrible master. You know, one guy, he heard about fasting. This lawyer, and he heard about fasting. He decided, I know what, I'm going to fast tomorrow. So he went on the fast, and all day long, he says, man, he's smelling all the restaurants as he goes by, you know. And then he saw the bakery shop, and he's looking through the window, you know, and seeing all the donuts and all the things he could eat and would like to eat and so forth. And he goes forth, and he's going throughout his day, and he gets to the end of his day, and he has a little talk with his stomach. Said, now, stomach, you've caused me a lot of trouble today. A lot of unnecessary discomfort. A lot of things. He said, just for that, stomach, listen to me. I'm going to punish you. I'm going to fast tomorrow. He began to understand the purpose of fasting. He said, I'm going to take another day and I'm going to fast again, that my soul is afflicted. You see, our mind, our will, our emotion must be surrendered to the Master. Hallelujah. And this morning, all of us can ask. I have to ask myself, who is the Master of my life? Is it me or is it my stomach? You know, there's one place where Jesus called them flesh pots of Egypt because they so desired. They wanted something else all the time. They had the manna every morning, and then they wanted to go after the quail. Lord, we're tired of manna. Give us quail. And they got quail so long that they finally loathed it. They were tired of that. And who knows? You know, the stomach is a terrible master, isn't it? No one is exempt, really, from that question, are they? All of us have that question. Lord, am I going to follow your way or my way? I don't know about you, but I fought the battle of my soul many times. You know, when we want our way, and sometimes it must be brought, what, into subjection? My will. My way, my desire has to be brought under that subjection of God. Let's look at in the Old Testament for a minute. We look at a few passages there. We say, oh, I've got 20 minutes. Woo, we're moving right along. Praise the Lord. Only about 6 pages to go. We're good. Now, this isn't typed out, so that's a good thing. What did I say? Numbers, right? Genesis, Exodus, Numbers. There we go. That's Exodus, okay. Leviticus, I'm sorry, I said Leviticus, didn't I? That's in Numbers, Leviticus 16, sorry. Leviticus chapter 16. All right, praise the Lord. I thought I marked that one, but maybe I didn't. And verse number, we're going to read 29 through 31, okay? Leviticus chapter 16, verse 29 through 31. And this shall be a statute forever unto you, that in the seventh month, on the seventh day of the month, You shall afflict your souls and do no work at all, whether it be one of your own company or a stranger that sojourns among you. For on that day shall the priests make an atonement for you to cleanse you, that you may be clean from all your sins before the Lord. It shall be a Sabbath of rest unto you, and ye shall afflict your souls by a statute forever. Now here we have he's talking here in this 16th chapter of Leviticus. It's quite long. But he's talking about the Day of Atonement, or the Jewish people call Yom Kippur today. And this is one of the most sacred days on the Jewish calendar. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm getting a nod from some people over here. I've got some friends that know a little bit about the Old Testament. Hallelujah. And, you know, when you come out of some things, it can be good. It can be beneficial for you, some of the knowledge that you have anyway. But praise the Lord. So this is the most sacred day on the Jewish calendar. And matter of fact, it still is to this day. From the time of Moses to right now, it's the most sacred day that they face every year. And it's the Day of Atonement. It's one that, you know, they would bring their sacrifices to the temple. I mean, it's time to sacrifice. In the Jewish calendar, they have to get everything just right. And they're bringing their sacrifices to the Lord. And it describes the way that God ordained these sacrifices here in the 16th chapter. He says, hey, I've done it. And how they're supposed to do it exactly. It's for the sin, Israel's sins. Everything depended on this sacrifice. The whole future and destiny of Israel depended on these sacrifices. It was that important. They had to have the sacrifice, once a year for the atonement of their sin, for them to continue on knowing God. Amen. Hallelujah. This is a sacred day, an important day. And in the midst of the sacrifice, God also required a response from the people. He required them to respond. And the response he was required is right here in 31, that they shall afflict your soul. That they are to what? Afflict their soul on this day. And when you look into the Old Testament, each time when they're talking about afflicting their soul, the Jews understood this is fasting. You said, well, how do you know it means fasting? Well, it's actually confirmed in Acts. And let me see what verse. I'm sorry, I had the reference in my mind just a minute ago. And it's Acts 27, verse 9. If you remember, when Paul was there, he was getting ready to head out. And he says, now the day of what? The fast was over. He was talking about the Day of Atonement, the time when the Jews would get ready and they would present themselves. He said, the fast is over. That Day of Atonement, they would afflict their soul with fasting. And so they could not really benefit fully from the sacrifice unless they met God's condition and they humbled their soul. And it's the same thing that's true for us as Christians. The sacrifice of Jesus on the cross was what? It was perfect. It was complete, and we cannot add anything to it. We don't take anything from it. But if we are to benefit from this sacrifice, what do we have to do? We've got to meet God's conditions, don't we? We have to come to Him and believe that He is. To believe that He died on that cross, that He was buried and rose again. If we don't, how many know we don't partake of the benefits? Amen? There are certain things that give us that, those conditions. And this was the condition that God had stated under the old covenant on the Day of Atonement, that they would afflict their soul with fasting. In the Jewish culture, the phrase afflict your soul means to go without food, to fast. On that day, normally, They went without food or water sometimes. Now, I'm not recommending that for anybody here unless God specifically says to. I've just seen a lot of people that have gone into fasting sometimes and they didn't drink water and it wasn't good. But fasting means to abstain. This is my definition I'm giving for fasting today. To abstain from food for spiritual purposes. Not for the purpose of just losing weight or whatever. There's a lot of talk today about fasting. Oh, I fast 12 hours and then I eat. Or I fast 16 hours and then I eat. No, we're not fasting to lose weight. We are fasting to afflict our soul and to seek after the face of heaven. To seek first the kingdom of God. To look to our Father to humble ourselves before the Lord. Amen. And to look to what? His will. To look at what He thinks. And how does He feel? What is God's desire in our life? And to take that up and to walk after Him. Amen. So I want us to see here is that Israel had to humble their soul in order to benefit from the sacrifice that was offered up on their behalf. And the Jewish people for about 3,400 years had always known that to humble themselves meant to fast. As a matter of fact, that tradition, like I said, is found in Acts 27 verse 9. This day is called the fast, Paul said. So this is a New Testament, really, confirmation of what he's talking about. I know it's just one verse there. Acts chapter 27. I'll just look at it and read it for us here real quick. Let's see, what do we have? Oh man, I got all kinds of time. Not really, but I'm not trying to pull us out or just to look at something. I want us to understand. They understood under the old covenant. You say, well, that was under the Old Testament. I'm under the new. I understand. But how many know that the old covenant is an example for us to follow? There were conditions that they had to meet to go before the Lord. And there are conditions that we meet. And there are examples for us. And part of humbling ourselves before the Lord is fasting. It's one way to humble ourselves. Not the only way. Not by any means the only way, but it is one way. How many can believe that and agree and see? This is one way that it can happen. But anyway, in Acts 27 verse 9, he said, when much time was spent and when sailing was now dangerous because, notice what he said, the fast was now already over. And if I look here in my margin, it says here, the Day of Atonement. The Day of Atonement. Hallelujah. The fast. It was known as the fast. Here Paul mentioned it. He didn't even say Day of Atonement because he knew they would understand. Oh, that's the Day of Atonement, the fast. And so here we see it confirmed even under the new covenant. And so I want us to, it brings our soul, what, into subjection? Not allowing our souls to dictate to ourselves or to God. Now, sometimes anybody ever tried, like I said, I've tried my own will. Thought I got, hey, this is the way it should be. God, please do this because I know this is how you want me to be blessed. Or this is how you want to help me, Lord. We decide many times what we want to do instead of finding out what God wants us to do and following His already blessed plan. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, maybe you've never done that. Bless you if you haven't. Praise the Lord. But I think many people have. We've gone about our way, and much of the church lives by how they feel, what they think. Amen. Hallelujah. What we feel, what we think, what we want, what they want. Many times we figure out what we want, then we say, God bless it. Anybody ever done that? Well, this is what I want, instead of saying, Lord, what do you want? You see, the response that He wants from us to His grace is to present our body a living sacrifice. That's really the New Testament example, is to present our body. What a living sacrifice. It's not something high-flying. It's not something impractical. It is very practical right here on this earth. Present your body. How many can understand that? That's very practical. See, Jesus and God, God's very practical. He's not some idea, lofty idea out here that we can't really, or some concept that we cannot grasp. It's very down to earth. Very practical. One way that God wants us to humble ourselves, one way, not the only way, as I said, is by fasting. And then we read about the returning. Another place I want us to look at is over in Ezra chapter 8. Okay? This is the return of the exile from Babylon captivity. And Ezra's given the job of taking the children of Israel from that captivity. They're released and he's taking them to Jerusalem on this journey. And so they've got to make a journey. And so let's look over at chapter 8 of Ezra and verse number 21, I believe. Yeah, 21. Ezra 8, 21. And here they are going to, you know, not only did Ezra have the children of Israel, but there's also women and children with him. And they also have certain things, you know, certain articles from the tabernacle and from the temple to carry back with them. And the question was, the question that was posed before Ezra, the question is, how was he going to get the people back to Jerusalem safely, safe passage? How are we going to do this safely? And here he begins to say in the 21st verse, he says, "Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might afflict ourselves before our God to see him a right way, to seek him a right way for us and for our little ones, the children, and for our substance, what they were carrying with them. For I was ashamed to require of the king a band of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy in the way, because we had spoken unto the king, and we were saying, the hand of God is upon all them for good that seek him, but his power and his wrath is against all them that forsake him. So we fasted and besought God for this, and he was entreated of us." So he said, what did we do? We had already gone to the king and we said, God's going to take care of the righteous. So Ezra had already put himself in a position. Hey, I've got to prove God now. I'm not, you know, he says, I can't go up there and say, oh, well, now we need protection, king. Send us some soldiers and some horsemen. No, he said, what are we going to do? They begin to proclaim a fast and seek God. Which way do we go so that we'll be safe with women? I mean, this is not a one-day journey. This is looking at a four-month journey through a dangerous area where there are thieves and those that might kill them. This is not an easy journey. This was not just something that they could do, but they had to seek the Lord and say, Lord, which way do we go? And God heard them, and they, you know, at the end, of course, they were found, let me see here, to have that answer. And they safely made it. I believe it's verse 23, which we read. So we fasted, besought our God for this, and he was entreated of us. In other words, he heard us. He gave us the direction that we needed to go. Amen. How many of you think that was important? They didn't want to lose the women and children. They didn't want to lose their possessions. They didn't want to, you know, be taken from or destroyed or killed. They had to go God's way. Hallelujah. And so many times, how many have ever given your testimony? Amen. You give your testimony of the Lord, and then what? We have to live up to our testimony. That's our responsibility. As a what? Child of God. How many know? God will take care of me. Amen. I'm going to trust God. I'm not looking to men. Oh, Lord, help us. You know, now He may have different ways. He'll talk to you. He'll speak to your heart. I know one time I was looking for a job, and I said, now, Lord, where do you want me to work? And God asked me the question. I had had a certain amount of money I wanted to make. And God asked me a question. He says, would you settle for this amount? It was a little bit lower than what I was really asking for. I said, well, I do need a job, Lord. I suppose I could. The Lord asked me a question. He said, what have you done before? I'm praying. I'm just praying. I'm seeking the Lord's wisdom. I said, well, Lord, you know what I've done before. I worked with my father, in the nursery business, and I did other things and landscaping and so forth. And it just came up in my heart. You know, go back. Go to this place, this particular place that was hiring some people to work on that's how I got that job, but working out at this lady's residence. She was a rich lady, and they were looking for someone. And I went out and talked to them, and they gave me a price, what they would pay me. And it wasn't exactly what I wanted or what, even that I felt like the Lord had said. But they said, this is what He said. He said, if you do a good job this summer, we'll give you a bonus at the end of the summer. I said, that's it. I got it. Because I already know I'm going to work good, right? Amen. Oh, boy. That's good preaching too, isn't it? Huh? I already know I'm going to work hard. I'm going to do well. I'm going to do my best. I'm not going to take time off in the middle of the day when the boss isn't looking. I'm not going to be found slouching or not doing my work. Amen. Hallelujah. That's good preaching too. Fasting will help that too. You'll humble yourself. Say, Lord, help me. And show me the way. God's ways work. It is practical, not theoretical. God's ways are practical. He gave them practical direction here to Ezra. How to go, how to get there. Exactly which way to take to avoid what? The trouble. And to safely take those that had been in captivity for 70 years back to Jerusalem. Oh, praise the Lord. How many are getting excited about what fasting might do for you? Can you imagine? This is under the Old Testament. They gained God's direction. They gained God's wisdom. God came through for them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Maybe we'll go next week. We'll talk about some other parts. I do want to finish this at some point. But for today, I want us to see right now. Can you see where they humbled themselves with fasting and sought the Lord? You see, to afflict the soul, our emotion, our intellect, our will, to what? To bring it in line with what God desires. To seek first His kingdom, amen, and His righteousness. God, what do you want? I surrender today. I choose, Lord, to humble myself before you with fasting. One way that we can present ourselves to the Lord and say, Lord, I am not going to go by what I think. I'm not going to go by what I want. I'm not going to go, Lord, by how I feel. But I am going to go by what you say and what your will is for my life. I don't know about you, but sometimes all of us can get caught up in something called pride, and we want our own way, and it stops us from really having answers to the prayers that we've been praying. Pride is one thing that can stop us. How many know what 1 John said? What does he say? The pride of life, right, can come in. It can choke out the Word of God from us. It can cause us not to surrender our will. See, we can't be praying our will over somebody's life. You can't do that. You have to pray God's will over a person's life. God's word, yes. But we can't say, well, this can't be right in their life because you're not them. You can't make decisions for somebody else. But we can pray and we can believe God for the right circumstances and for His best for our life. Amen. You know, there's things in my life that didn't work out. Guess what? It's okay. God had a better way. God had a better plan. God had a better purpose. And when I embraced His purpose, things begin to happen. Things begin to take place. Hallelujah. God, what do you desire for my life? You know, I remember a lady at my school that I went to school with, and she so wanted to be married. She's like 20 years old. She wants to get married. She wants to be married. But she began to seek the Lord, and the Lord told her, she said, right now, I want you to seek me. I'm not going to let, it is not my will for you to get married right now. It's not my will, not my desire. Oh, he said, I want you to do some things in the ministry first and have some other experiences with me while you're young and you're free to serve me. I remember her sharing that, and it was very, you know, it was really, really hard for her. She said, you know, this is so hard for me, because she really wanted to be married and be a mother and go into some other things. But she said, I had to surrender that to Jesus. Oh, man. She said, man, I know. Yes, it's God's desire. It was God's will for her to get married. She did finally get married a little bit later in life, but she didn't get married at that time. It wasn't the right time. How many know God has timing for us? God has wisdom for us. I mean, not every 18-year-old is mature enough to get married. I know some of you are chuckling on the inside, like most of them, you know. But some may be. Some may be there. Some may have that. And some may be able to do that. Others, it may be different. Amen. So we've got to, humble ourselves before the Lord. With fasting, and we'll seek His face, and we'll find His will, we'll find His purpose. We're going to do it, God's way. It's a surrendering of ourself, our will to the Father. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we thank You for Your word and what we have today, Lord. We thank You for ministering to us a little bit about fasting, Lord, and that we can afflict our own soul. We can humble ourselves before You, Lord. And we can say, Lord, not my will, but Your will be done. And You have promised, Lord, when we humble ourselves before You, that You will exalt us, Lord. You'll bring the answer. Oh, Father, You said You'll make it clear to us. We'll hear that voice behind us saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. Lord, we'll be like David who humbled his soul, Lord, and found Your purposes. We'll be like Ezra who found a way to lead the children of Israel safely back to Jerusalem, Father. We'll realize that just like on the Day of Atonement, the Jews, they afflicted themselves with fasting to receive some things from You. Oh, Lord, help us to get rid of our pride and to humble ourselves before You, Lord. We want to honor You, Lord, and give You all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Well, I think everybody here. Is everybody watching saved? Anybody that raised their hand? If you're not born again, let Michelle know. Say, I'm not sure I've received Jesus into my heart. I've never had a know-so experience with God. And that's you today. Please let us know. We'd like to pray with you. We can help you have a for sure knowing that you're born again. You can know that you know. How many know that you can know that you know that you're saved? Amen. The Bible says, not that we think, but that we know that we pass from death to life when what? We love the brethren. We can know when we have eternal life. Glory to God. And so I don't think there's anybody here this morning. I understand that. But how many are believing for somebody? What does our sign say here? Each one, what? Reach one. How many know that each of us can reach somebody for Jesus? I'm asking the Lord. I'm praying all the time. Lord, somebody. Lord, there's people I can reach. There's somebody I can touch. Maybe they're already saved, but they're not seeking the Lord. They're not serving the Lord. They're not in a church. They don't have anybody. But you can help them. Amen. How many know the Bible says restore one another? What? With the spirit of meekness and humility, that we can restore people to the Lord too. Amen. Some people need to come back to God. Others need to find Him. And we can all believe God for those divine appointments and be at the right place at the right time. We can be that one that will, maybe it's just you need to smile at them or pray for them. Let them know they are loved, cared for. How many know people want to need that right now? There's people hurting every day. Every day. You know, there's a nursing home right down here. Some of them, nobody ever comes to see me. Nobody. And you say, well, I could go visit one. Maybe you can't do everybody, but you can find one. You know, I've been talking to my neighbor across the street. She's a nice lady. You know, from, where's she from again? Oh, yeah, Ukraine. You know, where they're having the war over there. She's from Ukraine and real nice lady. You know, but I talked to her. I talked to her sons. Got a couple of boys there. They've talked to me about coming to church, but we'll see. You know, we'll see. I've been talking to them. They want to come. At some point, I believe they'll be here. I'm not trying to get them to come to church. I want them to come to Jesus. Okay? If they don't ever come to church, but you get them healed, we're happy with you. You lead them to Jesus. Amen. Bring the good news to them. It's not about how many people we pack in the churches. How many are we getting into the kingdom of God? Are we packing heaven? Hallelujah. It's about packing heaven and walking and working with our Father. I know there's times God has just spoke to me about different people. Tell them this. Okay. I'm like, all right, I hope that's right, you know. But, you know, I tell them that, oh, that was so encouraging to me. I was just thinking about that today. Wow. Wow. You say, well, that's not very spectacular, brother. No, but it sure is supernatural. You know, many times we miss the supernatural looking for something spectacular. See, supernatural is saying, Lord, I'm here. I humble myself with fasting and prayer. I'm here, Lord. I believe I have your directions, Lord. I lay my life down. I surrender. Hallelujah. I need to stop preaching. But, you know, it's a surrender. It's just there. But we can each find somebody that needs something. And we're reaching out here with the food. Don't forget your food. If you have an extra can, you know, you can buy. When you're at the grocery store, get one or two cans or five cans. You know, you see something on sale, get a few cans and bring them here. We're going to bless the food bank. You say, well, they're not even, you know, they're helping people. They're touching lives. We're all about touching lives. Amen. You know, we're not here to duplicate what everybody else is doing. We're here to do what God wants us to do. If we can be an aid to them, praise the Lord. We're going to aid our community. We're going to reach them. Amen. This Thanksgiving. You know, if there's one, you say, well, there's just one box this year. Well, there's one box, that's one more box of food for somebody. One more can of food for some people that couldn't afford, didn't have. You know, sometimes it's about keeping people alive till they hear the gospel. Ooh, hallelujah, amen. So let's each one think about it. How many are thinking about who you're going to reach this week? Believe in God. Maybe you don't know where they are yet, but think about it while you're about your day. Think about it in your prayer time. Lord, somebody for Jesus. Somebody I can touch. Somebody that I can reach. I know Daryl's got a lady that contacted him. He's given her some discipleship material. She'd given her heart to Jesus, but that's a one person. Amen. There's somebody you can disciple, somebody you can reach. All right. That's enough preaching. Father, we thank you for today. As we're dismissed, Lord, and those that are online or with us, we ask for those divine appointments. We ask for those divine invitations from you, Lord, that we can touch lives that are around us because of the overflow of our relationship with you, just because we love you, Lord. Not because we're trying to make something happen, but we're letting you overflow from our lives, from our consecrated, surrendered life to you, Jesus. We love you. We worship you. We give you all the glory. Protect each heart, each one. In Jesus' name.